It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and in a special edition of the podcast today, I am coming to you live on Periscope from Podcast House 2.0 in New York City with my friends, the LFC. First is a man who does not like when people are a stupid. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
You know, just because you're Canadian doesn't mean you get to make fun of Southern drawls. And just because I said being stupid.
He said a stupid. It happened.
Those in a way that you can't appreciate, and that's fine. But a lot of America can, and I hope you get hate for this, the way you made me get hate from Scotland.
Absolutely deserved the hate from Scotland as well.
Alex, I apologize. And I to everyone who's from the South and talks to Southern folk like Alex Kidwell, and I don't really believe does Silver Spring count as the South? No. So there we go. Anyway, earlier conversation that I'm making fun of Alex for. Second on the panel is a man who is going to probably be taking care of me in the second half of this podcast tonight. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Oh, thank you. thank you, kind, generous, very big audience.
Well, fangirls.
No, we got a lot of great feedback from the live show with me holding the mic that Brent has to use. So we figured we'd replicate that scenario, and so Brent can't just like interrupt all the time. So that's what we're doing right now.
And last but not least, he's trying to get that mic. Brent Walkabout, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
What's up? Had a great time at the show last night. Like, it was literally out of control. Thank God for Jose and Gina Marie. Like, everyone else was great, but they were the life of the party, and I'm so glad we got to see them.
Yeah, they were a really fun time. I think Jose really blew us all away. If you haven't checked out the video version of the BBOTT live podcast on robinswebsite.com, highly recommend that you do so, because Jose was great. Glenn was like periscoping the entire time on his phone. It was so funny. At Snapchat, he brought Big Meech out.
He embarrassed Meech.
Yeah, Meech was not thrilled.
Did you see she posted in the Big Brother Reddit, like,
no,
this was terrifying. Yeah. I'm so annoyed.
Yeah, but Glenn was like, hey, do you guys want to talk to Big Meech, like, to me and Adam or something? We're like, sure. And then all of a sudden, he's like, we hear the you know, the FaceTime sound. It's like, it's like, wait, is that a FaceTime sound coming? And all of a sudden, Big Meech comes on. He's like, hey, Meech, say hi to everybody. And then he's like holding up his phone. It was great. So shout out to Glenn. We love Glenn and everybody who was there last night. Thank you to everybody who came. We all had a really fun time, and hopefully that kind of lays the groundwork for some of our future live Big Brother shows. So let's get into it, guys. So how this podcast is going to work, we're live on Periscope. We don't have a ton of time, and not a lot has really happened since last night. So we're going to talk for about 20 minutes to 30 minutes, and I say this now, who knows how long this will go. And then we're going to record half of it now. We're going to come back later tonight after the eviction in the HOH comp to talk about just basically our reactions to the new HOH, the eviction, that kind of stuff, previewing the week ahead. So first off, I guess, Alex, I'll throw this to you. Maybe I shouldn't throw this to you. Taryn, I'll throw this to you, because you've been on top of things. Alex has been on love tours and other things. So Taryn, what has been happening since last night when we recorded at the Broadway Comedy Club? What has happened in the BBOTT house?
So not much has happened. Jason had a good conversation with Scott where he, you know, Jason is preparing for next week in case Scott stays. He said, listen, if you do stay and I vote against you, I hope you know that doesn't mean I'm against you. I'm just doing what I have to do. And Scott tried really hard to get Jason to flip his vote. Jason said he was open to it, but that he wasn't sure yet. I don't think Jason is going to change. He said, like, I can't get rid of my numbers. Why would I work with these girls who are all good at competitions? My side sucks at competitions. That's better for me if I can keep them. So I don't think Jason will flip, but he has made some decent inroads with Scott in case Scott stays. I think Scott may not go after him. Scott is definitely going to go after Danielle.
Okay.
Yes, he did do that as
Okay, and hold on. So we had Matt, our cameraman. He just said, and for the podcast version of this, Rob in the chat just said he asked, "Did Jason spit in the tub?" So, Taryn, what's that about?
Yes, Alex got a task for her safety servant thing, and the task was to clean Chrissy's bathroom. So Jason decided to spit in the tub so that Alex would have to clean up his spit in Chrissy's tub, which honestly probably wasn't the worst thing in that bathroom.
Ooh, wow, there we go. okay, so right now then, Taryn, still looks like the vote within the House is going to be a tie and it's going to come down to America.
It will be a tie, yes. The Ball Smashers decided definitively last night, we're going to go for it. We're going to force the tie and see how America goes. And America could go any way at this point. The polls are tight.
Okay, so the polls are tight. Alex Kidwell, what do you think is going to happen if Scott goes home?
I think it's going to come down to the HOH competition. But again, you're going to be looking at kind of everybody versus the Ball Smashers. And if one of those girls win, then you're going to be seeing them trying to find people who are willing to work with them. And again, it's going to be whether or not they can, or whether people are just telling them what they want to hear. And then the next week it's something else. Or if they don't win, I would imagine it becomes a situation where two of them go up on the block.
And Brent, you believe, I know Taryn was saying, and some people are believing based on the polls, that Scott is going to go home, but you are thinking there's a potential that you think he's going to stay and Neely's going to go.
The polls do not say that. Okay. The polls all say that Neely's going to go home, with the exception of Taryn's poll, and Taryn's poll has Scott up by about 3% in terms of going home.
But Brent, I heard that Taryn is always right, so what?
Now he had, exactly, but so have these other polls been right, exactly.
Well, there is a difference with my poll this time. It's gotten quite big this time, and
oh, for God's sake!
No.
Anyway,
listen,
look. The point is, well, you talked for like 20 minutes. What?
Poll.
I can't say something?
Jesus.
Ugh.
Because there's a lot of talk. Like, there's a lot of talk about this poll. It's at least double the size of votes as normal. And there was a lot of talk of, like, people potentially making fake accounts, like brigading the poll, trying to get Scott above Neely. So I wouldn't necessarily say that my poll, because, you know, I've had a consistent amount of votes and it's consistently been right. I think it might be wrong this time. And it's that close and there's that many votes.
It's wrong.
So it could go any way at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just telling you, Big Brother Daily, Joker's Updates, and what was the other one?
BB Network,
all have Neely going home. And it's not necessarily close. It's like all about a 10% to 15% margin. It's sort of like the presidential race, where it's a moderate but consistent lead at this point. So I do think that Neely's going to be evicted. I think the House is going to be absolutely gobsmacked when they see Neely voted out over Scott, who they all perceive to be hated by America. And when that happens, I think it's going to be a blow up. Going into the HOH competition, it's also important to note that with Chrissy as the outgoing HOH, and Neely most likely being evicted, that it's going to be a 3-on-5 scenario going into the next HOH competition. And you never know what's going to happen. The three could win. I don't know. But that definitely puts them in a bind going into the next HOH competition.
So, Alex, if hypothetically, let's say Neely does go home, and then it's all basically, it's the Ball Smashers against everyone. Do you think this would be the defining moment where America swings back over to the Misfit side to go after the sisters, Shelby, Whitney, Scott, one of those guys?
I think that's really likely. I also think something that's pretty likely at that point is you could see a couple people in that, you know, Ball Smashers alliance, or Scott, start to really try to diversify and work with some people who are technically on the other side more. I mean, I think that's really one thing that separates the two groups, is that in that Ball Smashers alliance, you do have pretty much everyone who's at least wanting to explore the idea of having allies on the other side, whereas on the other side, you have at least two people in Chrissy and Danielle who just have no interest in entertaining the idea or even, like, pursuing that road. So, like, they've already burned those bridges. So it creates a little bit of a rift where, like, anytime Chrissy or Danielle has any kind of power, obviously it's going to be hard for people to try to mend fences or navigate the middle.
It's so funny that you bring up Christy and Danielle, though, because I don't agree that America's going to swing back toward helping out the misfits and against the ball smashers, because I have to believe the next week with both Christy and Danielle available to be nominated by America, I have to believe America's going to nominate one of them. I mean, we've been jonesing for this for like 3 to 4 weeks now. So they're going to, one of them's going to go up by America, and I think they'll probably get voted off again. So, I mean, look, I'll just say something really quick here, and I know some people are going to disagree with me. I saw someone tweeted something that I was really pissed about earlier last night, where they said that they would like to apologize on behalf of all rap fans for the toxic atmosphere. Bitch, step back. Okay? The rap fans are not the ones causing anything. I am totally fine with people who are open to voting off Scott. I'm cool with that. People tweet me all the time after I say, you know, vote out Neely, evict Neely, and they're like, Brent, I'm not going to do that. I agree with you most of the time, but this time I'm not down with that. And I'm totally cool with that. And I favorite their stuff and I retweet it. So, I mean, don't come talking to me about how rap fans have behaved like that. Honestly, I do believe that most of the fans, not all, but most of the fans of the Misfits have not had a good look for most of this season. And the Misfits themselves, to me, in the house, seem very entitled. Jason's attitude has progressively gotten worse. Now, there are some people who think that that's game. I don't believe that that's game. I think that's his general attitude, and that has nothing to do with game when he's in a bedroom talking by himself to the feeders. That has nothing to do with game. It's just, it's unfortunate. And I honestly think that's why most of the silent majority favors the ball crushers, because if you just looked at Twitter as a whole, I think most people would think that we're pro misfits, but I mean, the numbers tell the tale.
Matt, how are we doing in terms of questions? Anything really coming up that comes to mind for you? No, not yet. Nothing at the moment. Okay. Sounds good. Colin, you're keeping an eye on the hashtag. Nothing yet. So I haven't said it since we started the podcast, actually recording. So if you want to send in your questions, you can tweet them to @ColinStone, that man over there in the corner. There's Colin of the Dom and Colin podcast. So if you want to tweet Colin, use #RahappyHour if you have any questions before we get out of here in terms of part one. Again, we will be back again later tonight for part two. Taryn, you have been accused in the past 24 hours, and this was talked about on the live show last night, of being the most powerful man in America in terms of BBOTT. As the most powerful man in America in terms of BBOTT, what do you want to happen next if Neely goes home and Scott stays?
Well, let's just quickly clarify. You don't have to add that part in the end when it comes to Big Brother OTT. You can just end it at most powerful man in America. I feel like that's appropriate. But so
definitely not the Alex Kidwell says definitely not the most modest. So there you go.
Listen, if people want to call me powerful, I'm not going to stop them. I don't believe them, but I'm not going to stop them. If Neely goes home, what do I want to see? Is that what?
Yeah. So if Neely goes home, how are you going to? As the Messiah of the vote, how are you going to? What are you going to tell people to do?
Well, I think it depends on the HOH, really. Honestly, I would love to support whoever wins HOH. I'd love to see an HOH actually get another one of their targets out, regardless of what side they're on. So I want to see some chaos in that sense. I want to see some more gameplay. I think that could potentially lead to more integrating of the sides, especially since the numbers are going to start to be dwindling. As if there's not two different sides up on the block, that means that there's going to be room to start negotiating between the two sides. So that's what I want to see.
Something to keep in mind, though, that the care packages get progressively more powerful. I don't even think HOH means squat this week because, again, this week there are only 7 people voting. Next week, that means there are only 6 people voting, including America, and the care package is to nullify 3 votes. So basically, whichever side gets that is going to be able to nullify the entire votes of the other side. So HOH is probably not going to get what they want unless their side also gets the care package.
All right, yeah, something else to keep in mind. So we'll keep tuned. We'll stay tuned for that. I'm just thinking, anything else that is pressing, guys, before we need to, because I think the night version of the part two, unless Alex and I are in a condition where we cannot function, Alex.
I'll probably have more to say later.
Okay, so Alex will have more to say later. Yeah, I believe that will be the meat of the podcast. So I think for now,
We have some questions. Okay, so Colin, we have a question here from Colin Stone. Thank you, Colin. So this one is from Timo. Timo says, is it really a wise move for Alex to risk Morgan going home by – and your phone just Colin. Oh, here we go. Amazing. Okay, so here we go. So from Timo says, is it really a wise move for Alex to risk Morgan going home by asking her sister to save Scott? Now, okay, so what exactly is this referring to, Taryn, in terms of, like, so Alex is risking more, how is she risking Morgan? Go ahead, Brent.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know if you knew what they were talking about. Alex floated the idea to Morgan of Morgan, who won the power of veto, of using the power of veto on Scott, because the House perceives Scott as being the most unpopular person based on the fact that he's been voted a have-not back-to-back, and they're worried that if America's voting between Neely, who's like the grandmother of the House, and Scott, that we're going to evict Scott. This is going to be great tonight, because if Neely goes home, they're going to be like, what the hell? Like, how did that happen? How did America vote off Neely, who's the sweetest gal, and not vote off Scott, who they all seem to hate?
Two things are going to happen. Danielle is going to cry. Chrissy's going to consult the rule book.
Yeah. Chrissy talked last night about how if Scott stays, she doesn't know if she can handle it anymore. Like, she's going to lose her mind. And I really want to see that.
Here for it. Here for it. Give it to me.
Oh, my goodness, Alex. Jeez. Brenton, you got one more thing.
I have listened to Chrissy, the head of household, for an entire week. Don't judge me.
Okay. Brent, go ahead.
Just to be clear, to answer the question, I think it would have been a really ballsy move for Morgan to use the veto on Scott. I think she, in the end, will not have needed to do that. I would, like, you know, it's very easy for me to sit on the outside and say what a ballsy move that would be. And I think Alex is correct that Scott would probably get more votes than Morgan if we're all voting on who we want to evict, because there are a lot of fans who have tweeted me that were on Scott's side until he had that sort of breakdown and he started torturing Danielle, and they were like, Brent, I just can't do it anymore, so I can't support that. So I think if Morgan had been on the block and she had used the veto on Scott, I think that there's a good chance that she would have survived, but I understand why she can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, from my experiences, I would say definitely don't do that. Taryn, what do you think about that?
No, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing you have to think about, at least consider in this game, because America plays such a big role. And, I mean, I think Morgan correctly identified, but here's the thing. What if I use it on somebody else, and then America thinks I'm dumb for doing that, and I get voted out because of that? And I think that's the reason why you ultimately don't go with it. But I do think it was smart to consider it.
People ask me, you know, well, why do you like Alex? It's that kind of thing. I mean, I don't think anybody else in the House would have thought outside the box enough to say to Morgan, you know, one of the options that you could do is use the veto on Scott because he's more likely to go home than you. Morgan got really pissed. She was like, are you trying to get me to use the veto on Scott? Like, really, me? And she was like, well, I'm just letting you know that you have options. And, of course, Morgan's like, I don't have options. I'm just going to use the veto on myself. So, but people will say, why do you like Alex? It's that outside-the-box thinking that makes me like her all the more.
All right, guys, anything we want to add before we wrap things up for part one of this experiment we're doing? No? Alex Kidwell's good. Brent's good. Taryn, final thoughts?
I'm excited for tonight, and the people listening to this not live are going to hear what's happening tonight very soon.
Very, very soon. So
they don't have to wait.
I think, yeah, I don't know what the transition we will play in between it. Maybe, actually, you know what? I think there's this very special song that was sung last night for those who were not there at the live karaoke. And Matt, you've got a question here? Okay. So Matt, our cameraman, he says, Rob Cesternino is asking, did Adam Pock hurt Shelby's chances last night at the live show? You guys say yes.
100%. I cannot vote for Shelby in the next week, at least, because I do not want to be assaulted by anybody with regards to hands.
Yeah, it was over the top with that.
Right? It was just really uncomfortable to me. Like, it was a little creepy. Like, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, like, I know you support Shelby. That's really cool. And I love Adam Pock. But, like, take it down a notch.
Yeah. Every question Rob threw to the panel, like, people were like, yeah, this guy or yeah, this girl.
Shelby, you guys, come on.
He should not take it down a notch, though. It was fantastic. Like, every single time, I was just like, this is amazing. I'm so glad that we have this on the podcast.
Shelby's and hand jobs. Oh, Adam. I loved what Eric talked about, which is, in the wrestling world, that's called X-Pac heat, where it's like, this is a villain, but it's not, like, he's not working on the way you want him to. He's just turning off the audience.
Okay. So we've got the head of our audience today, Matt Gagan. So Matt, if you want to show Matt, the other Matt, Matt Gagan's over here. So Matt, you're here live in studio. You tweeted this question in, but why don't you come on the mic and you ask this question? Because you're our head of the audience. So here we go.
All right, hey guys, big fan. It's a pleasure to be here. Great meeting all of you guys. So I was just wondering, and I think all of the audience was wondering this really, but which is greater, Adam Pock's over-the-top love for Shelby or the LFC's over-the-top love for Alex?
Oh!
Yeah, we all love Alex. I mean,
my love for myself is always going to trump it.
No, of course, Sister Alex is who he's referring to. So I think that's I don't know. I think that's tough. I would say Adam Pock was pretty overt.
It's definitely Adam Pock. I mean, like, there's no joke we can even make. Like, there's not a comparison.
Like, for real. I don't think the Alex in the house, Alex Willett, she's great. I love her. But she's not, I don't think she's going to win the game. I think there's too many bullets she has to dodge. The other side really wants her out. I mean, I would be stunned if she could make it to the final three. So, I don't have, you know, if she gets voted off, I'm going to be like, meh, you know. She did her all. That's all she could do. But Adam Pock's love for Shelby was just unbounded.
It was great. It really was. And if you haven't checked out the video of that podcast on robinsonwebsite.com, highly recommend you do so. Okay, guys. Well, that's going to do it for part one of this edition of the Happy Hour. If you're listening to us in the audio archives, stay tuned. We will be back after a quick break. Okay, and we are back for part two of this Big Brother Rahappy Hour podcast. We have lost Alex Kidwell. We don't know where he is. Instead, he has been replaced by a purse. So if you can see us on Periscope. So Alex has turned into a purse. Yes, very appropriate. So he is here. We now have a live audience here that's grown. So this is great. Yeah, so doing this all again, live on Periscope. If you want to see the video, I'm at Jordan Parhar on Twitter if you want to see the video version of this. Now, guys, we just went to the Survivor Know-It-Alls, Live Know-It-Alls. We went to, I don't know, what was the name of that pub, Taryn? St. Patrick's, somewhere in Manhattan. I don't know. It was good because we were able to watch the episode live. We had a big audience there watching.
Yeah, it was a Survivor after party, and we had a phone running Big Brother feeds and a bunch of people cheering at Neely's eviction.
So bye, Neely. Neely has left the house, as Taryn has said, and it was pretty crazy. We were all cheering. It was very exciting. And Brent, you were right.
I was right again. Brent is the HOH. Thank you very much. And it was really sad to see Neely go. I'm just kidding. It was great to see Neely go. And people were doubting me all week long. I have to say, as much vitriol as Scott has gotten, I'm absolutely amazed that people came together to vote out Neely. But I am so proud of you all. You make me proud.
Yeah, and that's right. A week ago on this show, Brent Wagamot said, everyone, vote out Neely. And what did they do? It just came to Brent, and he did it. It was amazing. So there we go. So Neely has been evicted from the BBOTT house. Personally, I was stunned, but I was very happy. As you can see from – I don't know if Taryn's going to release the video of what happened. You'll see the video on Taryn's Twitter or something, but I was very excited. The Virgin King lives on, Taryn.
My poll was wrong.
For the first time, yes.
3% off. 3%.
For the first time ever, guys, Taryn's poll was wrong. But you know what? It's the margin of error, right? That's part of polling.
It is. It is the margin of error, and the poll, it got a little too big for itself. I feel like it just grew a bit too much.
Too much.
Just didn't work properly anymore.
Yeah,
so
that's what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you grows too large and you can't sustain the growth of it. It's really tough. So now we're looking at a house without Neely. The Misfits are in a position where they're down a number. However, they get lucky. They get an HOH win, Taryn.
Yes, they do. You know, all the Plastics needed to do is win an HOH. They had the numbers. It was a quiz competition. Should have been easy, but not the case. You know who won? You know who won, Jordan?
Who?
Danielle. Yeah.
Danielle. Oh, my goodness. Right. Danielle.
You know how I said everyone cheered when Neely was evicted? It was kind of the opposite when Danielle won. Everyone was screaming. They were angry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I have to say that for those of you who are calling me a hypocrite on Twitter, saying, Brian, I thought you were for Team Good Feeds and you wanted to see the power shift back and forth every week. Well, I'm sort of annoyed with y'all because y'all have been getting on me on Twitter saying that I'm pro Ball Smashers and how dare I want to vote out Neely. So I'm sort of embracing my Ball Smasherness now, and I'm totally on board with it. And I'm keeping Alex and Scott no matter what, and also Justin and Jason. So anybody else can go by the wayside. And I'm endorsing a Shelby for America's care package. I will say that RAP as a whole, just to let you know, is endorsing Shelby for America's care package. And those of you maybe unsure about that, but I have just seen so much support for Shelby on Twitter. Frankly, I would probably rather, on balance, it go to like somebody else. I don't want to confuse anybody, so I'm not going to say. But Shelby has the most support, and so I'm endorsing a Shelby win for America's care package.
Now, Taryn, wouldn't that kind of be a mistake, though? Shouldn't we give it to Whitney? Because Whitney... No, but listen, Brent, and I have the mic, so you can't take it from me. What I'm going to say, Shelby, yes, I think it would make sense to give it to Shelby. However, do we want to waste this on Shelby, and do we not want... Why not give it to Whitney, who is never going to get it again anyway?
This is the thing. I already tweeted once before Whitney for America's Care Package, and people were not really on board with it. I tried to explain to them why. I said, we really don't want to waste this on. Let's give it to Whitney because we don't really care about her, and she can just be used as a mechanism. But everybody wants it to be Shelby, and I'm not going to split the vote with everybody else. Frankly, I don't care who gets it at this point, so it has to be Shelby. And if your drunk ass says that you want it to be... somebody else.
Well, I don't. I really don't think.
Okay, Jose.
And for those of you listening in the audio archives, I just had two mics on me at once, like Jose at the BBOTT Live. I mean, that is a fair point, Brent. But I will say, it wasn't you did endorse Whitney, but Taryn Armstrong, the most powerful man in America, did not endorse Whitney that time. So if Taryn endorses her, then maybe we have a chance.
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Oh,
so you're not. Okay, so you're going to endorse Whitney or Shelby as well.
Oh, no. That's not the case, sir.
He doesn't want the hate. He wants
I don't know. I'm still undecided. Danielle hasn't decided on who she's going to nominate yet, as far as I'm aware. And until that happens, I'm not entirely sure who I want to...
Well, look, we know this much. Chrissy's going to go up by America's nomination. I'm positive of that. And as long as somebody from that side of the house doesn't win the veto, Chrissy is likely to get evicted if somebody on the Ball Smasher side of the house gets the care package. So I'm fine giving it to Shelby at this point. And I just, again, the other side, as far as the Late Night Jamboree side, they can't decide between Jason and Danny who to give it to. Half the people want to give it to Jason because they love Jason. Half the people want to give it to Danny because they think it's her HOH and they want her to be able to control everything. So I'm fine letting them fight amongst themselves. I'm telling you, for the Ball Smasher side of the thing, of which I have embraced, I am giving it to Shelby, America's care package.
Well, here's something to think about, though. You may have embraced this fandom, but it depends on who you're interested in saving of the Ball Smashers. Because if Chrissy's side does win veto and they take her off the block, assuming she's on the block, then one of the Ball Smashers is going to go home. And whoever has that three votes is probably going to control whoever that is. And if it's somebody like Whitney who may want to save, I don't know. Maybe Morgan's on the block next to Alex. Maybe Shelby's on the block next to Alex. Who are they going to save if Alex is on the block? Do they want to save Alex?
Well, if they use the veto on America's nominee, that means it can't be used on the initial two nominees. And I guarantee you that Dani's going to put up Alex and Scott. She doesn't want any funny business. She doesn't play any pawn games. I think she's going to want to put up Alex and Scott just to get it all done. And of those two, I would rather save Alex. So I think that Shelby would also make sure that the votes favored saving Alex, and we would get what we want and protect Alex for another week.
Okay, so we'll have to stay tuned for that. So it should be a very interesting week once again. Danielle, really? Danielle won? How does this happen?
Yeah, I want to say something positive about Danielle. Good for you, Danielle. You know, like, really, she fought for it. I'm amazed. It was a 5-3 ratio going into it as far as the ball smashers to the jamboree, because Chrissy couldn't play because she was ineligible because she's the outgoing HOH. Danielle stayed in it, and I thought for sure Alex or Scott or somebody like that who was typically good with quizzes, who thinks they are anyway, would win that competition, and out of nowhere, Danielle comes and wins an HOH. I felt like it was kind of like Jen with the teacup in Big Brother 8. Like, how did that happen again? But she did it, so good for her.
Well, I mean, Justin didn't, like, know any of the answers, and he made it to top four, right. So it's not like it's the hardest competition in the world. Justin didn't even look at the thing. Like, you have to look at the memory wall for the answers to the questions, and he didn't even look at it. He didn't even bother, and then he's just dancing in the booth, guessing the questions and getting them all right until the end.
Yeah, I thought it was quite great. I mean, the dancing was unbelievable. What's it? Justin should go into dancing. I really think he should.
Well, he tried out for Top Chef, but really he should have done So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
And pizza song competition. That's a reality right? show, right?
Oh, it did. Okay, so we didn't actually see the episode. We just saw the eviction and the HOH comp. Okay, so we've got a live audience here. So I think we should take some questions. Live audience, do you guys have any questions for us or no? You good? You have one? Sam, we got one. This is impressive. We got one. Sam, get up here. Sam, get up here. Okay, so we got a question from Sam. Sam, so Sam, say your name in the mic and say your question.
As I said, my name is Sam. I'm from New York now. I moved to New York. My question is, it might be put on a little bit of the back burner this week, but who will turn first, Alex on Morgan or Morgan on Alex? Because the past 2 days or so, Morgan seems a little bit more against Alex now.
Okay, so interesting question. Taryn, what do you think?
Morgan is annoyed with Alex because Alex is so willing to turn on Morgan. Like, that's like Alex will absolutely turn on Morgan before Morgan will turn on Alex. I 100% believe that.
I 100% co-sign that. Alex is going to butcher her sister and make sure that she's out of the house, that she can't split votes with her in the end.
Okay, so there we go. Should be interesting to follow that. I assume we would have more live audience questions. Matt, you're the head of the audience control. No? Okay, so no questions. Oh, Matt's got a question. Okay, so Matt appeared in the first half of the podcast. He's back again in part two.
All right. First of all, I know it's a little early in the week, but who do we think's an early endorsement for the third nominee this week?
So Brent said 100% it's going to be Chrissy. Taryn, do you agree with that?
I think it'll probably be Chrissy.
Yeah, what about so Matt Ligori behind the mic or behind the camera on the Periscope is saying small chance of Scott. What chance is Scott?
Yeah, I agree with that, actually, because what it seems to be like in this game is that every time America gives you a vote, it eats up some of your goodwill, right? Like, it eats up some of your equity for America's votes, and every vote, it's gotten closer and closer, the margin. So I do feel as though, if the care package goes towards the plastics, we could honestly see the nominee go toward against the plastics. You know, I think that you can only win so many America votes in a row before the tide flips on you.
Yeah, I'm not really buying that. That sounds like somebody trying to find a way for Trump to get to 270 electoral votes. I think that
you know who was saying that earlier this season? Brent.
I'm just saying that, look, here's the thing. I really do believe that it seems like there's, like, more plastic fans out there than Misfit fans, and Misfit fans seem to be louder and a little bit more angry, but plastic fans seem to be a little bit more steady. So, and there seem to be more of them. So I have full faith that America will continue to do my bidding and give Shelby America's care package.
Well, hold on. It's still early in the week, though. Taryn, you're the puppet master.
Bitch, his poll was wrong.
My poll was wrong, but I'm still the puppet master.
But he still has the most control out of anyone in America.
Clearly. I am. Listen, you weren't called out by anyone.
Listen, He's known as the puppet master. We'll just roll with it. It's still early in the week, right? We don't doesn't have to necessarily be Chrissy that goes on the block. Do we want Chrissy to go on the block as the third nominee?
That is a good question, Matt. Yeah, do we want Chrissy? Because I think it might be better in terms of entertainment if it's Scott, because I think, you know, to give the Misfits a chance. And I said earlier, I think I said this on Sunday, I kind of want Chrissy to go to the end because she's so terrible that she's just going to make this season so fun because she's so over the – oh, she's so OTT.
Well, this is, again, an issue where somebody who doesn't have to watch the live feeds is petitioning to keep Chrissy to somebody who does have to watch the live feeds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, there's no flipping way. And by the way, I just want to say to everybody who's a Misfit fan out there, all their site has to do is win the damn veto. Then the care package is totally meaningless, okay? If they win the veto and take Chrissy down, if she's the nominee, then – Danielle's nominees are going to stand up, and it doesn't matter what Shelby does with the damn eviction votes. So, if they're so good and they're so bad, let them win a damn veto, and then maybe they can get something done.
Who on that side is most likely to win a veto, Taryn? Because Justin seems like he's good physically, but mentally he is non-existent. Jason, I mean, I love Jason, but no. And then Danielle, I mean, she somehow won this competition, but I don't think she can really win anything else. And Chrissy, come on. Chrissy can't win two competitions this season.
Jason can't win a veto because he never gets picked for the veto.
Right.
He's never been picked for a veto unless he's already been nominated. He thought it was rigged. He literally grabbed the box with the chips, and he took out every chip to make sure that everyone's names were in there.
Right, and his was the last chip that he pulled out, which is hilarious. I love it. Like, he was sure it was rigged until he got to the last chip, and there it was.
Well, I love it because people for years have been like, oh, my God, they rig it. They don't put people's names in there. They put multiple names in there. No, it's everybody's name was accounted for. It was perfectly fair. You know, suck it, conspiracy theorists.
Well, and again, I mean, this is something that Eric Stein said last night on BBOTT Live. Like, no one cares. Production does not care who wins. They don't.
They care about making money. Like, they don't care about who wins, right? Like, it's silly. The conspiracy theories are silly.
Okay, guys, any pressing matters we need to discuss before we wrap things up? Because I know Brent has an early flight tomorrow and needs to go to bed. It's 1:54 a.m. right now.
There was some chitter-chatter on Twitter about apparently production had an exclamation of some sort when Whitney got her answer wrong in the final round of the HOH competition, leading Jason and Chrissy to believe that production is on the side of the plastics. I do not believe that that's true. I mean, there may have been something going on in production, but I don't think it was clearly related to Whitney's wrong answer. So just take your mind out of the conspiracy theories, people. Look, for those people who don't believe that Scott for those people who believe that Scott got more votes than Neely this week and production is screwing with the votes, all of the polls that I saw had Neely in front by about 10 to 15%. So the only poll that didn't have it was Taryn's poll. But Taryn's poll, frankly, you can't really depend on it. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low.
It got hijacked, okay? It got hijacked. But listen, this idea is absolutely absurd. That for whatever reason they would say, "Hey, America, vote for this thing and then we'll do what you want because we want to give you what we want, what you want." And then if the votes come in and it's to evict Scott, why in the world would they change it to evict the person that the majority of the people don't want? Again, they want to make money. They want to please the people. Why would they go against the people's wishes? What motive do they have?
And I would like to say that they have been pleasing me so far this season. I don't understand these people that call you the puppet master because you have been wrong before and I have gotten everything. You were trying to get people to keep Monty. Remember this?
Listen, stop diluting my wonderful nickname with facts and figures and truth, Brent. Who are you, and what have you done with the person that would love to call me Puppet Master?
Sometimes the truth works in this game, didn't we?
Okay, well, Taryn, definitively, let's figure this out. Audience, let's get your answer. Clap if you think Brent is the true Puppet Master.
Yeah, thanks, Colin.
Okay. And clap if you think Taryn Armstrong is the true Puppet Master.
Yes, man of the people.
The man of the people have spoken in the audience. Taryn, according to this small sample size.
This is
a
very large sample size. It's the most important sample size of all.
Just keep in mind that he's sleeping with 8 of those people.
Oh, man. Well, that is yet to be proven, Brent. But we will see. Okay.
Where are your facts now, Brent?
Okay. Taryn, anything you want to add before Brent goes to bed?
This has been great. I love talking with a live audience, both on the Big Brother OTT podcast that we did in the comedy club and now here in the podcast house. Broadway Comedy Club. Yeah, that makes it more prestigious, right? Even though it had a 1-star Yelp review.
Don't mention that.
Oh, yeah.
We're editing that.
Yeah,
up.
we'll take that out.
It
was great, yeah. Totally undeserved 1-star. It should have been like 4 stars at least. Yeah, it was great.
I would like to say that I was absolutely stunned tonight. You know, we live in our little world here of rap fandom, and, you know, we get a couple people to come up and say, hi, Ari, I love you, and I'm like, I love meeting new people. I was in the after party tonight walking past Zeke, and he was talking – Zeke from Survivor I'm talking about. He was talking to some other people. I didn't want to bother him because he's talking to these people. He literally grabbed my arm and was like, I love you. I listen to you guys all the time. I was a patron from way back when. Like, I was absolutely stunned. Like, Zeke, Adam, they're such great guys on Survivor, and it was really fun at the after party. You don't realize how many people watch the live feeds. Yeah, it's amazing how many people watch our little show here.
I think the most common thing that is said to me is that, you know, like, I watch these shows, and I have nobody to talk about them with because, like, who watches these shows? Just crazy people. And, you know, crazy people are pretty rare in real life, I think. So, like, getting to come here and seeing all these crazy people in person, I think is the coolest thing ever. And if you are thinking about doing it and haven't ever done it, you should absolutely come out to one of these things. And really, just like this whole community is just amazing. The fact that we get to talk about these crazy things with other crazy people and just have a great time is just really cool.
Matt behind the camera was just—he just shed a tear, Taryn. That was such beautiful words. But we've had such a great time in New York. It's been great being with you guys in person, and fun doing Podcast House again. Great having a live audience here. Thank you to you guys. Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. Alex Kidwell is missing. We hope he's alive.
Yeah, he got a little caught up.
Yeah, he went on a love tour earlier today. we think he's still on said tour, but we're not sure. He said he was done the tour, but I'm kind of starting to think that he went back on it. So
it may have evolved.
Yes, it may have evolved. So stay tuned for that. We will see where Alex is at. Guys, hashtag for this episode. I say hashtag where's Alex?
Sure.
Okay, so Brent approves, Taryn approves. So hashtag where's Alex. So tweet us, let us know what you thought about this edition of the Happy Hour. Brent is at One Lucky Gay, Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn, Alex is at Alex Kidwell, and I am at Jordan Parhar. Don't forget to leave some comments on robisatwebsite.com as well. We will be back. I don't know, we've got some I don't know 100% what the game plan is for the Sunday show. Just because we're going to be trying out these new live feed correspondents, and that might be starting on Sunday. So check out the RHAP show on Friday. Rob should have an update for you guys then, so you guys know exactly what is going on. And Brent is showing something on his phone to Matt. I'm not 100% sure what it is. There's Taryn. Oh, wow, Taryn. There's just a beautiful photo of Taryn and Liz Markham from Survivor. It's very cool. But anyway, thank you to our live audience. Thank you to Brent. Thank you to Taryn. All right, so for everybody listening, for these guys who are on the podcast, my name is Jordan Parhar. Thank you for listening to Reality TV Happy Hour. Hashtag where's Alex? We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Parhar without R-H-A-P. R-H-A-P. Reality TV. We're happy hour. Reality TV. We're happy hour.
The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.